the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. The last time we spoke about this particular court case that we're going to talk about again today, we focused mainly on the victim, Tristan Robey, who was left with a severe brain injury and Parkinson's-like symptoms after a hit and run. He was struck by a car while riding his bicycle, and the bike was dragged about a kilometer before the driver and passenger stopped and ran away. Jesse Black was convicted a year ago in the case, but there have been a lot of twists and turns for him recently. So today we're talking with London Free Press court reporter Jane Sims about what's been going on with Jesse Black and get an update on how Tristan is doing. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Hi, Rachel. It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. This case has been almost never ending for you. I feel like it's really dragged on longer than anticipated at first. And now we've got some more happenings that have occurred. So first, let's kind of go over the crash that happened back on July 21st, 2019. This is several years ago. So we did talk about this before, but in case you missed it, what happened in this crash?
Well, Tristan Robey and a friend were going night fishing. They got on their bikes and they were on Exeter Road when Tristan was struck by a car, a Nissan, and left with multiple injuries, including the severe brain shearing and brain injury. The car dragged the bicycle, as you said, for about a kilometer to the parking lot of a motel near Wonderland Road. And the driver and one of the two passengers got out and ran. Jesse Black was driving that car, as was decided by the jury at his trial, which was a year ago, a trial that was supposed to go 3 weeks and it went six. He was not arrested for months until after the initial collision, and the case took a slow walk through the justice system. After his conviction, he changed lawyers. And of course, when you change a lawyer, lawyer's got to get up to speed, and it dragged on and on and on. And the sentencing did not happen. Ultimately, the final decision by Justice Kelly Tranquilli of the Superior Court didn't happen until about mid-June. So, and that was a long time. It was
five years, pretty much.
Yeah, it was. And it was within weeks of the first year anniversary of the beginning of the trial, which is not how it's supposed to work. Mr. Black was sentenced to 4.5 years in prison. He has some there's some time served that he gets credit for, so it won't be, it's not that long of a term, but it is a 4.5 year prison term. Mm-hmm. There were indications at the end of it that he was going to appeal his convictions and sentence, and yes, the notice of appeal was filed with the Ontario Court of Appeal. When you file a notice with the Ontario Court of Appeal and you're in custody, you can apply for bail pending appeal. And Mr. Black did that. And he was granted bail pending appeal at the end of July. The hearing was at the end of July. My apologies. And he was given bail pending appeal on August 6th. I think he got out the next week. There were very, very strict conditions on him. Mr. Black has a long record, and he is part of that record is not just driving, because he was convicted again of driving while prohibited. It's also not following court orders. So the bail conditions were a house arrest bail, and which means he had to stay in his house unless there were prescribed conditions he could leave. He had to be with his two sureties. And one thing that was added to the bail conditions that he'd been on before was that he was not allowed to ride in the front seat of a car, meaning neither the driver's side or the passenger side, no front seat of the car.
Because when the crash first occurred, he wasn't supposed to be driving at all,
correct.
Right? When this initial crash happened.
Correct. And he was convicted again during this 5 years of driving while prohibited. So he's got a history of, he doesn't, he's got a history of driving when he's not supposed to be driving.
Sure.
So that was a condition to keep him out of a car, except to ride in the back seat if he had to go to the doctor or he had to appear for the hour that he has to, you know, stock up on his essentials and things like that, that we see in a typical house arrest order. Mm-hmm. So he was out. And the 19th of August, the London police spotted him in near a storage unit, we understand, here in London, mm-hmm. In the front seat and without a surety. He was arrested at a residence. He was charged with being in the front seat of a vehicle. Apparently, what we found out from the hearing last week is that the London police had a photograph of this. And they charged him, and he was taken into custody. He was charged with two more breaches, so three altogether. And also, a little bit later, he was charged with mischief under $5,000. The notice of application articulated, the notice of application of the Court of Appeal articulated that they had charged Mr. Black because there had been a couple of swastikas that had been carved into the cement bench at London Police Headquarters. So he's in custody. He wants to fight these charges, but also because he's on bail pending appeal, there is a procedure to take away bail, to yank the bail, because if you're given this chance to go out, to come out after you've been convicted, so you can mm-hmm. appeal. So there's an expectation by the court, and clearly something that doesn't make sense to me. If you want to prove that you're innocent, you're going to follow the rules of the court, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Mr. Black, within 3 weeks, as I said, was arrested, and then last week had a hearing at the Ontario Court of Appeal on Friday. He doesn't have a lawyer. He had appeared in London court earlier in the week and didn't have a lawyer, and he didn't have a lawyer on Friday. He's trying to retain one. And the Crown said, we're going to go ahead with hearing. And the judge said, yeah, let's go ahead. During that hearing, Mr. Black said it was unfair. He said his trial was unfair. He said the London police were out to get him. He didn't know about that condition, even though there was a signed copy of his bail order that had been witnessed by somebody.
The condition that he wasn't to be in the front seat of a vehicle?
Yeah, it's right in there. He said, I didn't know that. Yeah, okay. He said he didn't know. He also, he wasn't driving when Tristan was hit. Mm-hmm. And he thinks this whole thing is a farce, and that that's what he was communicating to the judge. What the Crown said is he's got a history. We gave him a chance. Mm-hmm. He can come back if he wants to once he has a lawyer with a new bail plan. But honestly, he's breached this one. And we say he shouldn't come out. And the judge said, no, he shouldn't come out. Now, but also said, I invite you to come back with a lawyer. But no, your bail is now revoked. So he is in custody.
He's back in custody. How long was he in custody the first time when he was sentenced in June? How long was he in custody before getting bail?
He would have been about a month, I think. Yeah, I think he, and I may have my dates wrong, Rachel, but the sentencing was about mid-June. And he got out... about the 9th of August. So a month, month and a half he was in.
Do we know the reasons he was let out on bail? Because he did have a history of some other, issue infractions, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Is that typical because he had appealed?
Yeah, it is actually. I mean, okay. From what I understand from legal friends that I talk to, I mean, it's unusual if bail pending appeal is not granted, particularly for someone. And Mr. Black had been on strict bail conditions before he was sentenced for mm-hmm. several, for many, many months, without any breaches, recent breaches. So he had already proven that he was able to abide by a strict bail. So, because if you're applying for bail pending appeal, basically you're saying I'm innocent and these convictions are wrong.
Sure.
You can't really apply those convictions to the decision of whether or not somebody's out.
I see. How long could he have been out? Because say he didn't go back to jail this just recently.
Right.
How long could he have been out until the appeal was over?
Months. Yeah. Yeah. Months and months. Yeah. And, you know, and if he had the case overturned, mm-hmm. you know, it would be either they'd order a new trial or the charges would be withdrawn. He'd be out for good. So he was given a gift, really. He was given a chance to be out in the community. while facing a very serious prison sentence. So, you know, yeah, he, you know, the interesting part to me is that his bail, pending appeal, ordered that he live in a residence that wasn't in London. It was in Norfolk County. So he was arrested here.
What? So why was that in Norfolk? Is that where his sureties were?
One of them was, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah. What happens to the sureties now, you know, if he's breached these bail conditions, and what happens to the sureties? What?
Well, there is a process called estreatment. And I'm sorry, it's a hard word for me to say.
Yeah, that's
but
okay.
You can, there are those kinds of hearings that will happen if somebody breaches bail conditions. You can bring the sureties in, mm-hmm. and make them pony up for the money that they pledged.
I see.
Right. So in this case, it was two sureties, $5,000 each. I don't know if there's any plans for any kind of hearing like that. Mm-hmm. I've seen them before, but you don't see them very often. And, you know, sureties are told, I can think of one in particular where sureties are told, if you think that he or she has breached, you got to call the police right away. And they do that. So that gets them off the hook. I don't know if this happened in this case, but certainly that's going to be up to, you know,
the courts,
bigger minds than mine to sure. know if they're going to go after the sureties for what happened here.
Absolutely. What has Jesse's, I guess, attitude been throughout this whole ordeal? I mean, during the trial, I think there was other people trying to take the blame for him. And of course, that was kind of sussed out that it wasn't the case, because he was convicted in the end anyway. And now you said during breaching bail conditions, he thinks everybody's out to get him. What has his attitude changed at all, or what has it been kind of consistent throughout the whole thing? A little defiant.
Well, I think he's been pretty consistent. You know, I think what was alarming to the judge in the trial when it came to sentencing, because it was a jury that convicted him. I mean, he has a long history. And one of the things that happened during this sentencing hearing is that a pre-sentence report was ordered. And a probation officer is always assigned to do those reports. And the probation officer testified about his defiance and his lack of information that he gave, and his attitude that, you know, that this really, the rules didn't really apply to him. Mm. So, which didn't really go in his favor very well. And this was right. I'd never seen this before. A parole officer who had been called to testify by the defense, because the defense said, well, what she put in the report was wrong. The probation officer was called to testify at the sentencing hearing and was so concerned and alarmed by what he was saying to her that she had that report peer reviewed, just to make sure somebody else knew that this is what happened. And this was a very experienced probation officer. So what we see from Mr. Black is a consistent, defiance, to the criminal justice yeah. system and a long history, long, long history.
Has he shown any remorse at all for what happened to Tristan Roby, who is, of course, the victim in this case, and the Roby family?
What he has shown, he had a statement at his sentencing where he was sorry for what happened to him, to Tristan, but he maintained that he wasn't driving. So in his mind, it's not his fault.
Sure.
Right. I think what you can extrapolate from what Mr. Black said at the hearing. I mean, that young man is, you know, he's been given a life sentence
of his own. Yes.
A very difficult life sentence. Yes.
Absolutely. How is Tristan doing today? Because the last time we talked, his mother had said, you know, his health is failing. He's not doing very well. He's waiting to hear if Jesse's been is going to be sentenced and convicted. Or he was waiting for the sentencing. How is he doing now?
Well, the last time I talked to Tristan's mother, Abby, was just after Mr. Black had been charged again with the bail mm-hmm. Breaches, and she wasn't going to tell Tristan because Tristan, it seemed to her, had been had been actually rallied a bit since knowing that the court case was done. So she'd seen some improvement in him. One of the things that has happened is that he has been looked at by some experts at the Robarts Research Institute who have determined that Tristan is much more aware than he appears to be, and that he is communicating, and yes, it's exactly what his mom always said, that she knew that he was trying to talk to her. So that's given her some, you know, some hope and some, you know, some comfort that, you know,
that is some hopeful news. Mothers always know. Mother's intuition. And so he's doing okay now, and he doesn't know that Jesse was out on bail and is now back in jail.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Abby's told him now, but certainly I'm sure that this is a relief for Abby that the Court of Appeal has thought that he shouldn't be out in the community. As she said to me, it was difficult knowing once he was out on bail pending appeal that he might be walking around town. That she was always looking over his shoulder.
She did say she didn't want to run into him.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. She didn't want to see him.
Sure. So what's next for Jesse? What's the next step for his court cases?
Well, Jesse's supposed to appear in London court, but he'll be by video from where he's being housed. Because now the breach charges start their march through the Ontario Court of Justice. And he indicated at the Ontario Court of Appeal that he was going to fight the charges. You know, they gave him until Friday to get some legal representation. But now we start that slow walk. And I would think, this is just my thinking on this, any time that he accumulates now in custody would have to go towards any sentence if he's found guilty for the breach charges, right? Sure. So it isn't like he is accumulating time served on the prison sentence, at least at this point. So, he plans to fight it. So, and that will take some time. We have busy courts, busy overbooked courts, and, you know, scheduling trials is very, very difficult. And, you know, guilty pleas are done a whole lot quicker than trials. And if he's going to go to trial, it'll be several months.
Okay. So trial for the, or at least some,
that's
kind
what
of
he says,
trial for that's the breach conditions, and then the appeal also.
Right.
They'll be waiting for. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we'll be probably talking with you about this another
time. This case isn't over yet.
No, it's 5 years of this. Never ending. Well, thank you, Jane, for all your expertise today. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again. We can keep up with Jane's stories at lfpress.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.